So in the 10th chapter of John, beginning with the 22nd verse, a bit different thing to add on. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Well, I thought just to celebrate Mother's Day that what we ought to do is pick up on a phrase that's well known by most children in homes. There was a movie years ago now. So don't tell me you know or you don't know. It'll tell your age almost immediately. But there was a phrase that's heard by almost all children, and the phrase was, "Because I said so." You've heard that, I can tell, yeah. Why do I take the trash out? Why do I have to take it out, is a question a child might ask. Well, there are good reasons. And a good parent says to them, "Well, because it's unsanitary to let it stack up. Because there's no room for me to in the trash for me to put the stuff that I'm generating here while I'm making dinner," mother says. It's beginning to stink. That's a good reason. And then finally, because it's just a chore you do for the family. But in frustration, usually after using all the real reasons like that a dozen times, the parent finally resorts to, "Because I said so." Now, implicit in that is because I am the parent, you see, and I am bigger than you are. That doesn't apply to Grant. That's Another well-known question from parents comes after about the millionth time that they have given the logical reasons for whatever it is to that child, for feeding the dog or cleaning up their room or taking out their trash or whatever that is. In frustration, the parent finally says, "How many times do I have to tell you?" That means, how many good reasons does it take? It also means, is your hearing deficient? Or maybe your brain is deficient. You've all heard all this, haven't you? Yeah. Well, in Jesus' day, the established religious leaders of the time had an image about who Jesus should be and what he should do. And so now in our scripture, the crowd asks Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Tell us plainly. Just tell us." Huh? Well, in a kind of parental frustration, Jesus answers, "You've observed my works, and you don't believe. You've had witnesses to my messiahship, John the Baptist, the scriptures, God himself, the works that I have done, and you don't believe. How many times do I have to tell you?" And the key to all that may be Jesus' shepherding language in the scriptures, especially in John. The shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep know the shepherd. And he could say to them, "You don't know me because you are not my sheep." Pretty simple logic, huh? It wouldn't matter how many times I told you. It wouldn't do any good. Until you are sheep, until you are my sheep, you will not be able to see and hear me for what I am and what I do. As long as the sheep have distorted expectations of the shepherd and don't know the shepherd, they can never be convinced. They can never see the truth. That's a tough one. But it amazes me when I read that how on target somebody was 2,000 years ago about us, you and me. You see, we have a world of Christians out there whose expectations of Jesus are built to suit their own popularity and their own profit, if you will. Not unlike the religious leaders of Jesus' day. You see, the problem is that the expectations also change as the popular culture changes. There was a day when all the tent preachers and the revivalists and the TV evangelists, they drew followers by promising people that their Christ, the Christ they were describing, would keep the people from going to hell. Well, the problem is that as the scientific world created fewer and fewer people who believed in a Miltonian hell, they had to shift their promises. And they shifted their promises to material success and wealth for followers of Jesus. Belong to my version of Christianity and you will prosper. If you listen to the TV preachers, you know, you'll have a perfect family if you just follow me, especially if you send a little money in every week, you know. You'll have a perfect family, you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy. I don't know about wise. Or worse than that, I hear them sometimes saying, God was on your side if you were a good American patriot. Somehow leaving out populations all over the world that are good Christians. Germany, Palestine, wherever you want to name. And then we have, besides those folk who have false expectations, we have people who have no expectations at all. They don't really stand around on the edges of the crowd with their arms folded. You got that picture, you know, waiting to be convinced. And they'll never be satisfied. Can't be done. They will never know the shepherd Messiah because they refuse to become one of the sheep who recognize him. It's kind of a tough double shot there, isn't it? But God and Christ are patient. They are. And that's where the shepherd language comes in. They're like a shepherd who has a sheep who's jumped off onto a ledge because he saw some really promising nice green grass down there. But then he can't jump up again to safety after eating all that grass. The smart shepherd knows that if he tries right away to recover that sheep, what the sheep's going to do is jump from him and probably go over the cliff and die. So the smart shepherd just waits until that sheep has eaten all that tempting grass that he can hold and is too full to jump out of the way. And he goes down and lifts him back to safety. See, God in Christ and their true sheep know that it's only when you give up trying to go it alone that you can ever know them at all. Only when you decide to become part of a flock, part of a faithful group, can you ever know the Christ at all. Only when we have eaten all we can hold of some promising-looking grass, which probably wasn't, are we ready to receive some real help and the real shepherd. How many times do we have to be told? Jesus is not about measuring up to our categories and our expectations. Jesus is not some superstar healer of all of our illness. He's not a guarantor of our happiness. He's not an absolute peace giver. Nor is he the savior from some image of hell conjured up by Goethe and Milton, and not in the scriptures, really, truthfully. Jesus is the great good shepherd of God. To know him and to know the deep sense of peace and community and well-being that comes to us by knowing him in spite of whatever else may be going on in our lives, in spite of wars and neuroses and divisions and all kinds of crazy sicknesses But we must let him be the Messiah. We must let him be the shepherd Messiah that God intended for him to be. We must unfold those arms and stop demanding bigger and more spectacular parlor tricks. And we must receive the risen Lord of Easter as one of his flock, because it's the only way to receive him. And then as his sheep, gathered around his table, we will discover who he really is. We will know his voice and be enriched in categories we can't even imagine at the moment. How many times must he tell us before we really hear and believe in a leap of faith? Pray with me. Eternal God, help us to open ourselves beyond our own control of things. And allow us to take that leap of faith to say, I am part of that flock. I'm going to be a part of that flock. And I want to take that Christ, that shepherd of God, however it is he offers himself to me. Amen. Would you bow with me for a benediction? People of God by grace, followers of Christ by choice, partners of the Spirit by faith, serve your Creator until we join together again around the Lord's table. Amen.